Welcome to Three Dads Over Coffee, where the conversations are irreverent, unscripted, quite possibly irrelevant, and always illuminating.
Hey guys, it's John here. On behalf of Jason and Scott, I wanted to thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate your support. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And don't forget, please keep those expectations low.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
What is Scott IT? What's going on?
Oh, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Everybody might notice that my sound of my voice is a little bit different today.
Sexier, perhaps.
No, it's kind of tinnier. Before it was a little more bass, and at least to me, it sounds like every time I like do anything, touch anything, you can hear the treble in it. So
interesting. Well,
it's all good.
From my side, it actually, I don't know if it sounds better because that suggests that it sounded not great before, but
it's okay.
It sounds good. You may want to consider for that. For it capturing those like snaps, the pop filter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds good, man.
I might do that. And in fact, even getting a kind of a more of a boom to get it off the desk now, because every time I touch anything on the desk.
Oh, the only requirement is if you get the boom, you have to install it during the podcast like Jay and I did.
Right. Yes. I'll make sure that we would make a whole episode out of that. Just nothing but saying, fuck.
Yeah.
What's that thing going on?
We could say how phallic it looks. And
yes. Yeah. We'll go back through that again. We'll get a whole nother episode out of making dick jokes out of microphones.
There's so much dick fodder. So it's been a couple of weeks.
It has, yeah. We each had our own kind of conflicts the last few weeks. And I was going to compliment Jason on his other podcast, but fuck that guy.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to compliment him if he's basically completely ditching us.
The Headless Horseman is now completely gone. Now, not permanently, but we have no idea where the fuck he is. He's probably napping or yoga or waxing something or all three.
And he can always join us here later on.
He's out.
If he wants. We're done. But we're done. Yeah, it's all good. I mean, he sees the link that I provided to him. Anyway, all right, now I've lost my... So this new Mac, to get back to that, it's got this new like trackpad at the top.
Oh yeah,
of the keyboard, which is pretty cool. I can see all kinds of other apps that pop up. And that's cool, but I'm still trying to figure it out.
But yeah, I've never lived in the Apple ecosystem outside of their mobile stuff. Like I have an iPad, iPhone, but I've never actually had like a MacBook or like a Mac PC or anything.
Yeah, I just kind of was already in that flow and it was just easier to stay in it. I once switched to like a Samsung phone and it about exploded my mind.
Yeah,
everything was just so different. And I know that you guys, people who do developing and things like that, supposedly those are much more customizable, and Apple is very strong and controlling.
Oh yeah, they've got very rigid parameters. By the way, Jay just woke up.
That's yeah, so whatever, if he wants, I don't really give a shit if he joins us or not. I mean, I care.
But yeah, officially we care. I'm just going to tell anyway, you on your link.
I put it in the chat, and this is already turning out to be a horrible episode.
No, it's fine. It's all good. It's all good. So what have you been up to the last couple of weeks?
You know, not a whole lot exciting has been happening. So now he's saying something. I mean, it's just been kind of normal life. Kids back in school, in person at least a little bit. But just kind of plugging away, just kind of continuing to read and grow. And I actually have a book review, which I thought Jason might be particularly interested in.
Oh shit!
But I'm just going to go ahead and do it. He can listen to this episode. He can be a listener.
Yeah. Love it.
But I'll go ahead and do it because I loved it. I thought it was great and I definitely recommend it. Although it took me a while to get through it because I found it to be a little dense, not in its difficulty to read it, like difficult as in unpleasant, but just so much in it. So it's a book called Give and Take.
Okay. Who's the author?
Adam Grant.
And is that he's in the same circle as like Simon Sinek?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of organizational psychology kind of things. And I think he has a much more recent book called Originals.
Okay.
Is out. So this one is an earlier book. I believe it came out in 2013. But it is about giving and about how people who give as kind of their, what he calls a reciprocity style. Mm-hmm. People who give as opposed to take, which is pretty obvious kind of what those mean. And the third style, which can be matching, people who really just look to give only to get in an equal balance.
Yep.
So people who give just has kind of their way of living tend to be more successful. And it's, you know, not in a moralistic kind of just, you know, you give because it's nice and it's proper to give, but that it's, you know, there are reasons why giving works, but there are specific ways that you can give that make you even more successful. And there are ways that you can be a giver that actually make you less successful. In other words, if you look at if you look at the people who are most successful, givers are at the very top. But if you look at the people who are least successful, givers are also at the bottom. So there's kind of two subgroups to givers. And so there's a technique to being a most effective giver. And essentially he builds up to this argument that if you're going to be the most successful giver, you need to be not only other focused, so focused on the needs and the wants and the interests of other people, but you need to have your own interests on your dashboard as well. That those two things are not, as is commonly thought, those two things are not at opposite ends of that dimension. Yeah. They are independent. You can have both of them, and you need to prevent for things such as burnout. You need to continue to fill your own cup while you're giving, and there are specific ways you can do that too. So it makes it very operational. And so I spent a good 2 weeks just reading this book and then going back and spending another couple of days going back and summarizing. So I've got like 9 pages of notes.
Wow.
On this book. And so there's a ton here. I thought it was great. So anybody looking to take truly a deeper dive into giving, I would recommend reading the book. And it is not just for organizational, for teams and just for work. Of course, this applies life. Absolutely to anywhere. The obvious parts are building your own network, but I think that's one of the things that I felt. And I'm like, boy, it just seems like it takes a long time to get a return. And that's kind of I'm a matcher. There's no question that I tend to, by default, when somebody pays me a favor, I feel like I need to return it to balance, to level the playing field. And that's just not, you know, I really should be more just give, just to give. But I feel like, and in particular, the one thing that convinced me when he said this in the book, convinced me that I was a matcher, is that matchers tend to be the police in giving and taking.
Oh, okay. And
when matchers sniff out a taker, they will go out of their way to fuck a taker.
Yeah. I could see that.
I am not going to tolerate taking. If like being taken advantage of, oh man, it makes me, I'm like pre-anxious.
I can see that. I would have to think that most people are, they're matchers, or a lot of people are. I think that that's almost like how I think a lot of people, at least in North America, from my experience, are brought up, is that, okay, well, if somebody does something nice for you, you do something nice for them. Like, yeah, there needs to be this general, I want to say it's reciprocation. I was going to say equality, but it's reciprocation where, okay, yeah, you know, as a kid, okay, if Jimmy or Sally, you know, does something for you, gives you, you know, their snack, then you get, either give them some of yours, or, you know, next time you have something that they may want, then you share. And it's like this striving for balance. Whereas I agree with you. And it's interesting you bring this up, because it's a bit of a journey that that I've been on lately, that is focusing on the idea of giving. And I love the fact that you're calling out in the book that there's a way that actually leaves you severely depleted, because I was actually living in that way myself. And I was like, I can't even necessarily pinpoint a realization where I was just like, okay, like I feel like shit and it's because of this, but I was completely ignoring, partly ignoring, but also just, it wasn't even on my radar that I needed to, as you call it, fill my own cup. It was okay. It's just balls to the wall, whether it's, you know, I'm going to do everything for, you know, for my family. So in our case, our kids, or for work where, yeah, well, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to, you know, toe the company line, and I will get my return on my investment, kind of that matching. It'll be matched later on, whether it's monetarily or a promotion or whatever, but you can't do that at any cost. And that's what I've really started to come to realize over the last little while. And I've been trying to lead a life more of purely giving. So if it's, you know, you call me or you message me and you're like, hey, John, do you have a couple of minutes of, you know, of time? I want to bounce an idea off you. Then yeah, absolutely. I'll make the time. I will give my time if it's a way to help serve you, to help you, not because I'm looking for return now or later, but just simply because you need it. And the more I think we can do that, I just think it's so impactful in the lives of the people that we touch, whether they're close or not.
There's no question. And then the one thing that I think really resonated with me about this book is that, I mean, this is a skill. Which means that it's possible. This is not something that you inherit. And some people may be predisposed, who knows, maybe biologically, but probably more just socially. Like if you were raised in a family of givers, that's mm-hmm. just going to be indigenous to the kind of the way you think and the way you treat people.
Sure.
I don't think I had a clear predisposition to just giving necessarily. I mean, I did. There were certainly some. I mean, my mother is a giver, but my father certainly was not. Mm. So there certainly is some, but it does take some practice. And some practice, not only just in doing it, but in feeling it. You have to give it time. I think you need to give enough, and in enough different context to enough different people, and then experience the return. But you're not really doing it necessarily for the return. True givers, I think, just give. Their return is simply knowing that they've helped someone. And he talks about that too, mm-hmm. about putting yourself in touch with the impact that you're creating. Yeah. And that one may be one of the things that leads to burnout in givers, is that they're not able to see or feel or experience the ways in which they're making a difference. Simply being told what you're doing is helping doesn't really do it for them.
Yeah.
They want to know. And so over the past year, being disconnected from people for true givers has probably been, we often call it, I think, extroverts versus introverts. And I think it's probably not really that. It is being disconnected from the impact that you're having. Mm-hmm. You just can't see it. You can't go on a site visit to visit the things that you've helped to create. I know Ashley, my wife was loved to go travel to see the complexes that her company built, right? Okay. This was ultimately what came of all the work that she did, was these huge apartment communities that they built. And she loved to go see that site. I think that was very rewarding for her. And she just loved it, even though she was in finance and accounting and deal structuring and all of that. She had nothing to do with the operational part. But that made a huge difference, and being able to do that every couple of months was a big deal. So not being able to do that kind of thing, not being able to meet the people that she was serving. So I think that's a big part. And I think I imagine there's a lot of givers that are probably suffering from some burnout who really need to get back out there into the world and to reconnect with the impact that they're making. But that's important. I mean, that's something that you need to do intentionally. You need to make sure you're filling your cup. You need to give it away. And so he actually talks about sometimes the cure for burnout is to give more, but giving more in a way that specifically gives you the feedback that you want.
Yeah.
Not just giving more of yourself in the same old way. And so I'm just like, that's just a whole nother thing. That's a skill. That's just something. This is all theory to me.
Sure.
Not all theory, but a lot of it is theory. And, you know, I'm kind of more interested in kind of seeing ways that identifying ways that I can give in a this kind of effective way.
So. Yeah, it sounds like almost like anything else, if you're going to do something, you could do it in a healthy way. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to modify my eating habits. So I could do it in an unhealthy way where I just basically go like batshit crazy, and I'm going to all like zero carbs and, you know, no sugars. And all of a sudden, even though in theory, it's a healthier way of eating than you were eating before, it's not sustainable. And you're doing better in one regard, but it's not a kind of holistic approach. It's not sustainable. So I could easily see that, how it's a learned skill to kind of just change your perspective so that, yep, you're still giving and giving more, but it's, you're also giving to yourself, so that as you're kind of using the, you know, filling your cup analogy, while you're, you know, pouring and filling the cup of others, you're also making sure that you kind of drift to your cup as well. And you're filling your own. But I love your example of in calling out, it's not really something I had considered, but you're calling out of like with Ashley, and even though she wasn't involved in the actual building of these structures, because we often think of, as we contribute to something, we want to see what the end result is. So if we're, you know, making a meal, we want to see how it tastes. We're putting our time and love and energy into our children. We want to see them succeed. Our investments, we want to see them grow. But from the perspective of being involved in work like Ashley, or, and I think of myself, because I think I'm an extrovert and I've had a hard time with COVID. But specifically from the connection and giving perspective, yeah, I miss seeing people. Like, I would prefer to have this conversation in person, although it'd make for a shitty podcast. But I miss seeing, you know, the people that I work with. And I think part of it is I've said probably, fuck man, like 50 times over the last year, I miss feeling the conversation. I miss what is actually what results from the conversation in person. And I think that's kind of part of the product that we're talking about, that as you're giving your time and your intention and attention, you don't get that. And I feel, I guess, for lack of a better term, a bit of hunger or lack of satiation, because we just can't get that now. It's just all virtual.
Yeah, no question. I was thinking this morning, I was like, man, that's just like, it's kind of a corny word, but it's like a yearning for me. And I don't think I've given that enough attention. I mean, I know I've felt something, man. recently. Absolutely. It's not just about, like, you know, giving versus taking or matching. And, you know, off the topic of that book, just in general, I have just been itching big time. And it's not that I have to wait until the world opens up again to go start doing some of those things. I think in a way that's kind of an excuse. There are tons of things that I can be doing in the current state of affairs that are going to more successfully, they're just going to make, they're going to increase my sense of well-being. Tons of things.
Yeah.
And I just have not, I've not given that enough. I've given it enough thought. I haven't done enough of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's just part of, I think this, that's part of this journey for sure. But anyway, strongly recommend the book if any, for anybody who's willing to spend the time.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. It seems interesting, man. I love the idea, and I can definitely, you know, theoretically it makes sense to me. But I'd love to take the deeper dive and just to kind of go through it and you know, better understand exactly what he's talking about. But I appreciate you sharing. That's cool.
Yeah, man. Yes. We don't really have another topic other than that. We could spend the next 30 minutes insulting Jason.
I'm fine with that.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so so Patty and I, our anniversary was back in October, and we pushed out, there's like this little hotel that we visit in Niagara Falls, Canada. And we had to push out our trip a couple times because of COVID, and we ended up going a couple weeks ago. All the while we've known that we've needed to move for quite some time. Just the house is, the family's outgrown the house, notwithstanding the fact that, you know, the boys have been home periodically doing remote learning, and then we're both working from home. So it varies obviously country to country, but just region by region. But the real estate market here is absolutely bananas right now, because a lot of people are very portable, and they can work remotely. So in our case, we've got people about, I guess for you would be probably 150, 160 miles east of us in Toronto, and they're bringing that Toronto money over, you know, this way, and they're snapping up a lot of our homes, where I bet you there's 10, well, let's say optimistically there's 20% of the supply of homes to the demand, and it's just driving prices like astronomically high. It's crazy.
Good for sellers, right?
It's great for sellers, but if you're looking, like, I think 15 years ago when my wife and I were pregnant and we're looking to buy a home, like, and I was making okay money. Like, I was just, you know, young IT guy. We made it work, and we got this house for, you know, a fair price. You know, I would say it was affordable. But now I think of somebody like us 15 years ago now, they can't get in the market. Like,
yeah,
a basic home, you're looking at, you're going to be in a bidding war, and you're going to start at $500,000. And even if you're making, you know, a combined income of, let's say, 100 grand, it's not going to cut it, because rent's increasing, so you can't save as much, and the required down payment because of the housing bust back in, right? It's just fucked everybody. It's crazy.
This is another bubble. I'm convinced that it's just,
it is, and it's bubble. And mortgage rates are insanely low. So, Patty and I have been looking for a while, and ironically, the Friday that we ended up getting to Niagara, we found out that we actually were the successful offer on our third home that we put an offer in on. So we're moving May 1st.
Oh, wow.
So it's, we're like balls to the wall. So
that's what you're doing today.
Well, yeah, basically that's why, like, my desk is gone. Like, we've repainted everything. We had the floors replaced upstairs. So, that's why you could see that I'm in a different spot, because it's like, okay, well, we're pretty Spartan here now. And yeah.
So it's, you're not moving far away.
It's
getting it bigger.
It's outside of town, but it's a little bit more rural.
Okay.
So I would say, it's about 45 to 50 minutes southeast of London. But yeah, it's a nice home. It's nothing like crazy, but more space, more privacy. Like, that's been the running theme, is just, you know, privacy from the kids, so that we can actually have a conversation without them walking into the room. Privacy from neighbors. And I'm a bit of a nature guy, so it's in a town of like 7,000, so it'll be kind of nice. And it's like 10 minutes north of the beach. Not that I'm a big beach guy, but you know, it's pretty. So once that season hits,
well, it's getting you closer to the things that you enjoy doing, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and you're getting to take some equity out of the house, and really probably have some. I've had the same thing. I want to kind of go the opposite with just three people. And we had expanded our house some 12, 13 years ago.
Okay.
And now I'm like, man, we've each got way too much space.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just like, I feel like we're at the top of the market, even though it keeps going up and up and up.
Yeah.
I would actually have to pay substantial taxes. This house is appreciated so much.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did the math and I'm like, holy shit. I mean, you're forgiven, I think, $250,000 of appreciation.
Okay.
We've well above and beyond.
Wow. Which is a great problem to have, but
it is. I mean, I would still be getting money out, but I'm just like, I mean, just like everybody, I'm averse to paying taxes whenever I can avoid it, but there's just no way around that. I don't think you're able to match other losses and assets, kind of like in investments. If you sell a winner, you can also sell a loser to cover the gain. But I think that would just be it. But I'm just like, it's either that. That's not going to happen anyway. It's just a fantasy.
Because Ashley's super young still, like 13, right? 13, 14.
Lindsay, she is about to turn 13.
Yeah, so it's, you know, she's still got some time at home, because I was thinking, like, well, it might be a time for you to downsize, even though you take a hit, because you don't know what the market's going to be like in, you know, let's say it's 6 or 7 years when she leaves home, right? But
I mean, really, that's just not, it's not going to happen. I mean, we're in our neighborhood. There are friends that are, you know, if we moved, we would move somewhere else in our school district, which is a small town. This is just a relatively small town that happens to have its own school system.
Yeah.
So to stay in our schools, we'd have to move in the district, which is really only a few square miles. So that makes zero sense, other than a financial pulling equity out. But I really don't have any specific need for that at the moment. It might as well be invested in the house as opposed to putting more money in the financial market, which if there is a real estate bubble and that bursts, that's going to affect your financial assets too. So I'm not going to, it doesn't really matter. Although we are going to go out west for spring break in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And that's where I would probably want to move anyway.
That's where we're going
to
go.
Move across country. We're going to go to Arizona.
Okay.
So Scottsdale, which is a suburb of Phoenix.
Yeah, I've been there.
But warm.
Yeah.
Warmer climate. So I don't know. I thought about like letting the kids just hang out at the resort for a day and going and making an appointment with a real estate agent. But that would be nothing more than just fantasy. You know, it would be kind of stupid. But just, I'm curious. I'm sure I probably will look around.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, you can just kind of check it out. No harm in that.
But I've been fantasizing about that trip already. Yeah.
So is it booked?
Oh yeah, no, it's booked.
Okay.
Yep. I'm not vaccinated or anything. I'm just whatever. We're going to go. We're going.
So So when do you leave?
It's first week of April.
Okay.
So should be relatively warm.
Yeah.
There. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be good. Yeah, I enjoyed Arizona. So I was down in Yuma, spent some time in Scottsdale as well. And yeah, I remember actually traveling when I was down there for work, and I went golfing with the guys on the weekend. And I'm a horrible golfer. I mean, there's not many of us that are good golfers, so I kind of like shanked it a little bit. And the guy's like, yeah, no, like that ball's gone. I'm like, no, like it's 10 yards. Just, and he's like, no, dude, like there's rattlesnakes there.
Right. Right.
I'm like, okay.
It's rattlesnakes or cacti that will puncture you and give you this big abscess. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, that's a good point.
Right. Right. It's like, oh, it's just a big sand bunker. Yeah. Sand bunker with deadly, deadly creatures.
Yeah. Right. Pit vipers and scorpions. And I'm like, okay, well,
I know I made the mistake without thinking about it, talking to the kids. You know, Adam is totally fine with this, but Lindsay, you know, way, I was just like, man, it'd be cool. We can go on a night hike and see these, you know, you take these kind of ultraviolet lights and you get to see these like scorpions that will glow in the dark with it. She's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Like, forget that. Doing that.
And I was like, oh, of course I should have known that. Yeah. You would have rejected that idea that going to see a scorpion would not be attractive to you.
Yeah, that sounds like a horrible idea, Dad. Thanks.
Right. So we won't be doing that. We will be going to eat, you know, chicken tenders.
Yep.
And sitting at the pool. So we're basically going to be doing the same thing that we're doing here, when it always just comes down to the least common denominator.
Yeah, just relocate and do the same thing. Well, you know, at least, you know, change the scenery would be nice. That was a big thing, like when we went to Niagara Falls. It's just like, I got to get out of this house. And then getting out of town, I was just like, I almost felt like I was doing something wrong. I'm like, are we allowed to do this? Like, there's nothing stopping us, but we've just been here in the city for the, you know, for so long. It was just nice to break away. And I'm sure you and the kids will have fun.
Yeah, it'll be a great time. It'll be super awesome. So what else is cooking for you in the future? What else? I know you've had, I'm curious to know, since it's been a few weeks, you were kind of building a few things there as well. Were you not kind of doing some leading in groups?
Yeah. So, a couple of things, like, so I've started my own business, and, as far as growing it, I would say I've slowed things down a little bit, only because I've been very distracted with the move. Although I've got my first paid client that has paid, because I think we had shared before that the first paid client, you know, was happening. But yeah, so I'll be doing work with them in May. So I'm super stoked about that. So we're going to do a 1-day summit and really focus on helping them with their organizational culture. So they're kind of going through, what's a way to put it? I would say refocusing their energies on how they can best support their staff and create an environment where everybody can thrive, I think is probably the best way to put it. I wouldn't say there's like any company, there's always things that are, there's opportunities to improve, but they're not like, oh my God, this thing's on fire, fix it.
Sure.
They're doing it like, and this is why I'm really excited about this this opportunity to work with these folks, is they're looking for a way to level up the culture within their organization, because they're really focused on their people. And that's where I really get fired up, is where companies or leaders are really intentional around how they can best support their folks and help them thrive. So, so I've got that to look forward to. So, actually going to be meeting with them this coming week to kind of go through, our second planning, exercise, if you will, just to kind of share what we're going to be doing. And then it's basically looking to grow the business and create new opportunities to share that. So I've been doing a lot of, connecting with folks. So we talk about, looking to help and serve people and not in a matching way, but just purely, hey, you know, Scott, how can I help you? And I've been doing a lot of that. So just trying to have good conversations. So even if it's like, let's say I have a conversation with you and you're like, you know, I've got this situation that I'm dealing with. I'm like, you know what? I know somebody that can actually help you with that. So, so that's been fruitful purely in the context of, I love being connected to a lot of people, and figuring out ways that I can help them, even just if it's kind of, if I'm a conduit, if you will. So, so things are awesome. Going well. It's slowed down a little bit, but.
That's great. That must be really exciting. I mean, that's so this is going to be your first time. I mean, this is not your first time doing that kind of exercise, and first time doing this kind of exercise or this kind of project for a client.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've done some through my work now with the company that I'm properly employed with. And it's been great. It's allowed me to kind of learn a lot and kind of try some things and certainly stumble along the way. But this is my first opportunity to do it with an organization or somebody that is completely outside of my normal kind of scope of folks that I work with. And I'm really excited. Like, I can't even say, I'm sure that I'll get a little bit, not nervous, but you know, that feeling you get when you're like, okay, I really want to execute. I want to bring the best possible experience. I'm sure that'll come. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to do it. So I'm really fired up about it. I've actually, I'm going to be doing some, training early in May as well. So the exchange training, I don't know if you know much about that at all.
Yeah. I'm doing it next week.
Oh, are you really?
You're doing the online exchange.
Yeah. So it's funny. I was actually going to try and get in on that one.
But they filled up,
but they've got one the first week of May. Yeah. So we move in the weekend of May 1st, 2nd. And then I think it starts the Tuesday after the 4th, 5th, 6th. So you have to tell me. We'll have to chat about that.
Well, I mean, you know, Jason's been through it, of course, and has helped. He's even helped facilitate, I think, those trainings back when they were doing them in person. So this one obviously is online.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So I've done it, and you know, and so for you, so for my self doubting is that I feel like I don't have something specific, like a specific project I'm using it. I mean, I kind of do, but it's not something that I'm going to be pivoting and using immediately. This is kind of a longer term thing. I'm kind of doing it the opposite way than they say you really should be doing it, which is, I think this is going to create some inspiration. And I know that is true. Yeah. This is just going to be something I know that I need to do. I just know that I need to do it. And I've got a couple of things that I'm just, I don't know, I've got my process for working through ways to bring it into the real world. And it's a bit curious and haphazard the way it looks from the outside, but that's just the way. Oops. Can you hear me?
Oop. Yeah.
There we go.
I can see that, man. But honestly, like, in perhaps a more traditional way, it's people take it because they're looking to facilitate conversations or sessions or you know, whatever. But I think that the other way of looking at it too is that it provides a different lens in which you approach conversations, just the types of questions that you ask and how can you extract the most amount that you can from any interaction. And yet you may think of it typically with a large group of people, but I would imagine even like with your kids or your friends, that it going through that experience could provide a different way of looking at those opportunities. Cause that's really what it is. It's an opportunity to learn more about, you know, the people you're talking with and or yourself.
Yeah, I mean, not to to be honest with you, you know, and this was something that I think we would have plugged, at least I certainly would have. And so go ahead and do it now. But I mean, Jason's other podcast, which I'm not exactly sure which, what it is. I know it is called, I think at this point it is called 3 Minutes of Leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is a phenomenal, such a brief, effective way of packaging that, finding the best of what of the past, the present, and creating the best of what can be in the future. Sure. And very simple questions that really key in on those things and a couple of other things as well can be, you can use any one of those. Yes. With anyone. Like,
yeah.
Like when we're going to Arizona, what do you want this vacation to look like? I mean, that would be jumping directly to creating something in the future. Or we could say on vacations that we've taken in the past, what are your favorite parts of those vacations? Mm-hmm. Right. Which might help guide you into, well, let's see if we can figure out a way to include that in this trip. You know, I mean, but it is generative. It gets the other person thinking as opposed to, I don't want to do that, which is where people go very quickly, eliminating opportunities, which is totally fine. I think everybody does censor their own dislikes when they are brainstorming.
For sure.
So that already kind of happens. You don't need to focus on the exclusion. You just kind of focus on the better things. And it is truly, so I think that is that is fantastic. That is something that I can certainly use a lot more operationally. I think that you will do wonderfully well at serving your client and serving anybody that you serve in using that in your new business and truly making this part of your life. I mean, I think that's the secret sauce, is that it just becomes part of your interaction with people, period. And isn't a skill that you need to dust off and employ in a particular situation. Although for a while, I suspect it's the kind of thing for me, I'm going to have to remind myself when I go into a social situation, okay, I'm going to be this guy. I'm not going to just be the guy to talk about football the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to I need to remember that this is an opportunity to not to sell people something, but to really, let's have a different conversation. And they may not be willing, and that's their choice, but you know, this is a chance, because usually people are just waiting. In fact, not to go back to this book, but this was one of the things that I thought was really cool. And it's very corny, but he was talking about this, you know, kind of the opposite of being paranoid. And he says it's called pronoia, or being pronoid. Okay. He's like, being paranoid is the belief that people are out to get you.
Yep.
And being pronoid is the belief that people are out to make you successful. People are just there plotting your success.
Yeah.
But you
don't know many of those people.
Right. But it's like, if you believe that, it's like the hammer sees the nail. If you believe that and you treat every interaction, again, this sounds very kind of fairy tale-ish, but if you truly believe that and you go into a conversation treating someone, not that they're not going to give a shit about what I have to say or this question that's going to sound probing, but treat it as, you know, this is someone who's just waiting for the opportunity to share who they are with me so that I can learn something.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is an opportunity for me to be successful. And if I treat this that way, then, I mean, that's a completely different self-fulfilling prophecy than the paranoia, which is, oh, well, of course I didn't make any effort. So of course nothing changed. And we ended up talking about the same old boring bullshit. Of course I was right. Well, you can create a very different scenario by being the other way. But it's like that people are actually secretly plotting your success.
Yeah.
Was just a hilarious, in a way, a hilarious idea, but really very true. If you believe that, then that's going to happen for you. And
it changes the perspective entirely.
Yeah, I think so. And I just, I go back. Have you ever seen the movie Yes Man?
Yeah.
With Jim Carrey. Yeah. I was like, I love that movie and it's so totally corny. And he takes it to an extreme where he has to literally say yes to every opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. I've thought about doing that kind of experiment. Just like, what if you even did that for one day?
Yeah. What would happen
if you had to say yes?
Yeah.
You know, and of course there would probably be all kinds of other consequences, which would not be great. You'd probably have to put some kind of parameters on it legally.
Sure.
I think I read something. I think it was in the magazine Wired one time, where a guy wrote kind of an article about doing that very thing in Facebook.
Okay.
Liking everything he saw.
Oh, really?
Every ad, everything like that. And what he found was it created chaos, not only in his feed, but in all of his friends' feeds, because it runs that way.
Yeah.
So he started liking things even that he disagreed with, like liking ads that were, he was very progressive and he was liking things that were very conservative. So he started getting a lot more of that shit in his feed, and other people did too. And okay. They figured out that it was him, because they could see, you can see what other people like. And people were like unfriending him, because they were like, dude, you are fucking up my feed. What is all this bullshit that you are liking? You. Right. That's hilarious. Right. That's and so hilarious. He was just like, it created all kinds of, but that was his experiment. What would happen if you really took that attitude, like onto Facebook, yeah. which is different. But I thought that was hilarious. I won't be doing that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. No, but it is, man. It's a totally different way of entering the world of conversation and the connection is, trying to be intentional. Yeah, and sure, you almost have to kind of unlearn your old way of thinking and operating. But just to go into a conversation to think of, okay, you know, what are the opportunities to come away with, a new way of thinking about something, even like having a conversation with somebody that has a polarizing view to what yours is about any given topic. It's a journey for me, certainly, one that I've been on for a little while, but I just try to look for an opportunity to, even like with my kids, to say, okay, here's a situation, and I can either react in kind of the default way, or maybe what's a better way of looking at it? What's a better way of approaching this, this situation? Like my eldest son, Will, he didn't do as well as he wanted on his science tests. He's in grade 9, and he texts me, and I know that he felt like shit because he was worried that he had failed it. Cause you know, we've all been there where you went in, you know, you feel like you're ready, and then you look at it, you're like, oh fuck, no, I'm not ready. Like there's something there that I just completely gapped out on, or I just didn't study. And he texts me and before I was picking him up, and he said, I failed my test. And I said, buddy, I said, that's a bummer. And I said, what we need to think about, or what you need to think about. And I made sure that I put it on him. Is what can you do next time, or what can you do to create the outcome that you want? I intentionally left out any reference to me outside of, I'm happy to talk to you about it. But I wanted to make sure that he understood that I didn't want him to be worried about, you know, there was no punishment or anything like that. Cause I'm also acutely aware of the fact that he's mature enough that he doesn't need the punishment from me to get his shit together to figure this out. But I said, you need to understand that the people that are successful are not the ones that can study and get a good mark on a test. That's great if you can do that. But I'll tell you 99.9% of the time, I want to be around the people that have fucked something up and figured out a way around it, how to be successful after they failed, after they've, you know, stumbled or fallen or made a mistake. So that's where the learning is here, is that, okay, how can you create the outcome that you truly want? And what is the outcome that you want? So is it that you want an A+? Maybe. Is it that, you know, you just want an A? And what is, you know, what do you need to do to get there? And I'm happy to have that conversation with you. But that was an opportunity for me and for him to create that conversation, that it had nothing to do with consequence for me. It was an opportunity for me to highlight for him, here's a way that you can design the future the outcome that you want. And now start to think about, how can you build that for yourself? And that, for me, like I had a great childhood, but I didn't have those types of conversations when I was younger. But it's even just going into those types of things with my 14-year-old son. It's a mind shift, and you have to it's a different way of thinking.
Yeah, I love that you did that, and you're letting them create their own goal. And the thing that occurred to me, as I think about that, and I think about that with my own kids, is that sometimes they come up with a goal that I don't like.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I'm truly going to give them the freedom to come up with their goal, I have to be willing, within some reason, to accept their goal, because their goal might be, you know what? I don't like science. It is not something that I am motivated to do. I'm not particularly interested in it. And if this is something that comes from their own thought process, I just want to get through it, get a decent grade. I'm okay getting a middle grade, like a C.
Yeah.
And let's move on, because clearly I'm more interested in this other subject and that other subject and in basketball and in this. And I'm like, that's totally fucking cool. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, right? 100%.
As long as I know that you're not sandbagging it on purpose, right?
Yeah.
If there's a reason, if you can give me a reason why you're doing that, right? I think some parents think, and everybody gets to do it their own way, but some parents think, well, you've got to ace everything. You've got to do your absolute all out best at every single thing. And I just don't look at it that way.
No.
I don't think that's leaving something on the table. I think there is value in perseverance and certainly in pushing through things that are difficult and things that you don't want to do. But having the outcome in mind and creating what you really want seems to be what I want my kids. Them practicing that,
yeah,
so I think it's going to be a more valuable lesson.
Yeah,
that's great, because there are definitely many things, many opportunities I can use. Oh my gosh! So the book I'm reading right now is about, I don't think I have it with me, but it's about raising teenage girls. Which is a book I started reading a couple of years ago and kind of only got partway through it.
Okay.
But I'm going to finish it, but I definitely have there are growth opportunities for me in this for sure.
Yeah.
But yes, in a lot of the conversations I've had with my 12-year-old daughter over the last couple of days, I'm like, I didn't really handle that. I didn't handle that very well.
Yeah. There's an opportunity to do things a little bit differently next time, maybe.
Oh man, that's hard to take me and my own desires out of the picture.
Yeah, very difficult.
But yeah. It's all
part of the journey.
It is, man. It's all good. Yeah. Well, I'm itching to hear more in the future about kind of how your new business is going, because I think that is really a lot of what we tend to talk about in practice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd be happy to share. And I'm really excited about this opportunity, and we'll see what comes from it. But likewise, I'd be curious to see how things go for you with the training next week.
Yeah, no, I'm really interested in it. I'm fired up about it. I keep going back and forth between doubting myself. Why am I doing this? Why am I paying for it? And,
oh, man.
Whatever. You got to have a little bit of faith, and it's a lot of energy that comes out of things like that for me. And I'm looking forward to more of that, because that's what I need more of.
Well, we'll leave it on this note, because I get the, you got the self-doubt, but fuck that. I think sometimes you just need to take a leap of faith. And the big thing that I'm thinking of from this training, outside of learning a bunch of things, is the type of folks that you're going to be connected to, which is going to be more in line with the type of people that you want to be connected to. Right. So that in itself is a massive opportunity. Uh-huh. And I think, quite frankly, is reason enough to do it. So I think you'll gain a lot.
You're right. That's biggest lesson of this stage of life for me, is the people that you spend your time around, honestly, intentionally putting yourself in the presence of people like that is worth a financial investment.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
For sure.
Agree.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Well, that's interesting. Kind of going, honestly, it's really not surprising. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why we connect. This is why we have a podcast together. We're kind of on a very similar wavelength.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Groovy, my man. Have a great day, great weekend. And yeah, best of luck in packing and moving. And I know you've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Busy times, but exciting times ahead. And
that's right.
Yeah. You do the same. Good to see you.
You bet. Talk to you later, man.
Cheers.
And there you have it. You might be feeling a little bit dumber as a result of having spent the last hour with us, and quite frankly, you might be right. Until next time.